the message tonight is just birthed out of part of a testimony. It's not like a testimony of getting saved. It's a testimony of what the Lord's been doing in the last few years, you know, having been in the ministry for alongside Tiens, and even if some of that time I was just the pastor's wife or whatever, but, you know, just being in the ministry together with him, just having come to a point at a stage that, well, firstly, I realized, like, I was lukewarm. I just realized I'd gotten to the point where I was just, this was about 3 years ago, where I was lukewarm and I was just going through the motions and, going to church, and that was kind of, and that was kind of the main place where I actually got exposed to the gospel. And and then the Lord showed me in his word and in Revelations how you can, you know, how you can repent and just come back to do the old things and buy from him white garments and gold refined by fire and all those things. And then I prayed. I found the scripture, and I was so glad because I felt lukewarm, and then I saw, okay, that's how you deal with lukewarmness. Great. And then I had my joy back, but then still later hearing God's still small voice saying, abide in me. And that's kind of where this teaching comes from today, that I want to share with you. And I think for many of us, it seems quite odd sharing this with a bunch of Christians, but maybe some of you are where I was at, having been a Christian for a long time, and or maybe you know someone like that and you can encourage them and kind of point them in the right direction. So today, sorry, my illustrations were like photos taken with my phone, so I don't know if they're bright enough, but the title of my message is Switch on the Light. And I was busy doing homeschooling with my kids this week, and we were learning about the eye. And basically what happens is if you look in the dark, then you only see things in shades of gray. But when you switch on the light, then you see in color. That's how our bodies are designed. That's how our eyes are designed. You see in color and you see in focus and so on. So, you see in shades of gray, and maybe, you know, basically what switching on the light, what I'm going to be talking about, I'm not going to be mentioning it through the sermon, but I'm basically talking about just getting back to the basic Christian disciplines of reading the word. And the word is Jesus. We'll get to a scripture just now that talks about that, about praying, about speaking to God, about listening to God, and reflecting on what he says and what his word says after you've read the word. Just about reading the word, I just want to also say someone gave me a little booklet, and I'd kind of floated around the Bible. I floated around the Bible. What do I feel like reading today? Or sometimes I'd be so confused. I'm like, I don't know what to read. I'd be intimidated by approaching the word, and so on. Or I would just read about something that I was interested in at the time, like prophetic stuff or, you know, healing stuff or, you know, stuff like that. So then someone shared with me a booklet. I meant to bring it along. I've shared it with some of you, but it's basically just a reading program. So that takes you through the Bible in a year. And the whole idea behind that booklet and about doing it that way is that you get a balanced diet of the Word. And that to me is very important. Like one of the things I'd like to challenge us with is to actually get a balanced diet of the Word to find a reading program that takes you systematically through the Word so that firstly that intimidation is removed, and also that it was like a psychological encounter with what should I do and feeling intimidated. So that really helped me, and I actually resisted it for many years. It was lying in my house, and I resisted it. And then eventually when I picked it up, it just took away so much of the, you know, I could just get into the discipline of actually reading the Word. And then prayers, speaking, listening, reflecting, worship, just creatively, like God is creative, He created us, and worship is very often just creative expression back to Him, you know, singing, dancing, playing musical instruments, you know, just giving that back to God. And also... So I'd like to encourage everyone to not just do it at church, but at when you're at home, if you spend time in the Word and you spend time in prayer, you find that your spirit is singing songs to God, and make that a lifestyle. And then also to participate in community, which all of you are very good at, and so on. God gave us to each other, to encourage each other, to build each other up, you know, to watch out for one another. So, and community, also, I think we don't naturally want to be close to people. A part of us prefers our own space, and we want to retreat sometimes, you know, and there is a time for that. But to learn to love is to actually learn to be around people and to love them and to build into them and to participate in relationships. So when I got the word to that the still voice that said to me, abide in me, I got this scripture. It's John 15 verse 4, and it said, remain in me and I in you, just as the branch, thank you, is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. And the rest of that scripture, and at that stage I'd really started to ask God, because I had this feeling of lukewarmness before, and then realizing that I had to abide in God. And then I had this sense that, Lord, I really want you to make my life fruitful. I don't feel fruitful, you know. And so the scripture just was so beautiful for me. And just before John 15, verse 1-3, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes, and He prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I am the vine, you are the branches. You can do nothing without me. And so, just realizing again, you know, I was in church, but I wasn't connect. I was even doing the ministry work, but I wasn't connected to the vine, and I didn't have that strength that comes from God flowing through, or the love of God. You know, those life juices that pushes through. You know, He showed me an image of when a vine is, a branch is grafted into a vine, how the life blood of the vine pushes through and incorporates, adopts that new branch into it. But that's only successful if that connection is, you know, happens. So I had a conversation. I don't know, many of you will know Arnold Moll because he speaks at that marriage seminar. And he's also the father of Michael Moll, the famous the TV host, and he's a Christian industrial psychologist and a marriage mentor and author. And we went to his seminar last year, and it was really good. And then he also came to speak here a few times. And we had the privilege of just sitting with him, having coffee, him and his wife, Joy. And I asked him, what is the secret to finishing strong in life? What would you say is the secret? And he said to me, daily quiet time. He says, because you cannot fall far in a day. And I thought, yo, that's really true. And then there was another, also Christian psychologist and marriage specialist that we've had the privilege of getting to know through Shofar. His name is Yanni Buerta, and he always says life is not a flat path. It's a little bit uphill, and so you have to exert some effort to move forward. You're either moving forwards or backward, or you're backsliding. But he says there's no such thing as a plateau, because he says lots of people come to him and say, and he asks him, how's your spiritual life? And they say, oh, you know, I'm just on a plateau. So that's his answer for them. He says that's, and then what he also says is we need to build in gates. So if it's uphill, then you build gates. And he says this in the context of marriages, but I believe it's also true in the context of our relationship with God. And the gates are healthy habits and disciplines, so that if you fall back, that you don't fall back that far, which is basically similar to what Arnold Moll was saying. Okay, the scripture from Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13 says, so then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to do his good pleasure. This in the scripture, I just see Paul writing to the Philippians, and he's saying, he's basically saying, don't be dependent on me when I'm there, you know. And I think that really echoed with me, you know, that we must break from, we must come into community, and it's, you know, I really believe in the power of preaching, and it does carry one, you know. If you're not reading your Bible and stuff, it does carry you, and so on. But I believe that one mustn't be dependent on, just on church services and preaching and stuff. You must have your own relationship with the Lord, and you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I wish I had my phone closer, but just concerning that, I was so blessed by people that were praying for me. Thank you. I feel covered. Thank you. But today, I really experienced that. They say a woman's brain is like spaghetti. I really experienced it, like everything is connected to everything, and, you know, where does one begin and where does one end and stuff. And then Tanya blessed me so much today while we're talking about fear and trembling. Oh, sorry. She sent a word of encouragement to me and said that she can't be here tonight, but she said she was praying. And she says, as she said, the scripture, Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And she also says in Job, het ek geleer, that the fear lies in the knowledge of who God is. And so, yes, as we're talking about fear and trembling today, you know, I think in our culture is very casual, and you know, we don't always know what's right and what's wrong. And even in the church, you know, it's sometimes with all the voices speaking, it's difficult to always know exactly the difference between right and wrong. And I feel like if you come into God's presence, if you come into His Word, like she's really said, then you learn what the fear of the Lord is, and you learn what the difference is between good and evil, and you learn to navigate your way through it. Okay, so we're talking about switching on the light, and so I'd just like to go to the next scripture. It says John 1 verse 1 to 6. So we're talking about who is the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So Jesus also says that, so we're looking at the light, and the light is Jesus. And then the next one says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes into the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. I think a friend of mine, I think, wrote an article, and he was saying about how, you know, coming into the light is difficult, because if you come into God's presence, then you're immediately aware of how big He is and how small you are, and of how holy He is, and how, you immediately in relationship to His glory and His holiness, you become aware of your own, you know, sins and flaws, and you know, but there is an element where sometimes it's uncomfortable to come into God's presence, but if we love the truth, then we do it, and the beauty of it is that we're coming to the person who is able to wash us clean, who can handle, you know, He's actually the answer to that state, you know, of smallness. You know, if you feel weak, I'm strong, and or my strength is made perfect in your weakness, or He's the one that takes away your sin and comes and washes your sin away. So it's actually a privilege to come into His presence, and to sit in His presence, and doesn't matter how many things He might show you, that's the safest place one can be. So part of that scripture said, he who does the truth comes into the light. I always find it interesting to look at the whole, you know, something that I'm also glad about the community and the church is that as a new believer, when I came into the church, God showed the whole perspective. The church helped me to read the Bible in perspective, you know, going through the foundations, going through Bible school. They really equipped one so that when you're reading a text, you're not looking at it in isolation. You know, you're looking at it in context. And so when they talk about the truth, I just thought to put it out here so that we're not looking at a scripture, but we're looking at the whole Bible in context, the foundations of the truth that I just felt to quickly write down is that basically that God created everything and that he created it good. In 6 days he rested on the seventh. He created us in his image. He gave us a free will. We are designed. There was original sin that made us fall, that brought a curse and death and suffering upon the world. So it explains our reality. The truth accurately explains the reality that we live in and that we find ourselves in, and that we need a Savior, Jesus. And Jesus reconciles us to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? You know, one of the things that they see in the prison ministry and so on is that, you know, one of the main problems in our society is fatherlessness. And it brings such brokenness. And isn't it wonderful that everyone can in the end be reconciled to a good Father, you know? That's just so wonderful. I sat this morning at Children's Church with some of the teenagers, and I was asking them to make collages of what they dream for their futures. And I was trying to encourage them. I was like saying, oh, look, here's a beautiful picture of a lovely family, you know. I think you must put it on that picture because, you know, even if our situations wasn't ideal or even if there was brokenness in our families, you know, Jesus comes and he heals and he brings restoration. And, you know, I think you must put this picture of this family, of this dream that you want. You know, you must, God has good dreams for you. You must have good dreams for yourself. And Shema was very, when she put it up later, when she quickly brought it back and she put it up on the wall and she left, she didn't chat about it. And I saw she'd actually cut out the father. And, you know, it was the mom and the two kids, you know. So, yeah, you know, that's the reality we are in. So it's wonderful that God reconciles us to his Father, his good and his perfect Father. And he reconciles us to the truth. You know, this whole word of God is like an infrastructure for our lives that we can really depend on. And it brings life, and it helps us to become builders and to invest and not just spend life, you know? Okay. And so part of this picture that God paints for us is that mentioned it just now about reconciliation and rest, that God wants to restore things to its original design. He created us in a certain way. We function in a certain way, and even after the fall, it doesn't change how he designed us. And so even though lots of destruction comes through sin and the ugliness of the world, God's heart is to bring restoration and reconciliation. You know, I didn't now put all the names of God. I put here who I, you know, more modern language, you know, big in broad terms how I see God, or how I believe he explains himself in the Bible and who we are. So you can go to the next slide. I just said here, God is good. He is justice. In him is justice and life and love. He is coherent. He is not confused. He's comprehensive. He upholds all of creation simultaneously. He's very dynamic. If you just look at nature, you know, and all the diversity in his creation, and even in people. And he is morally consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And then we are created in his image. There's a specific design attached to who we are. And God gave us free will, and he wants us to use our free will to turn to turn our free will towards him. He doesn't want us to serve him like robots. He wants us to respond to his love and his goodness. And we are subject to the conditions of the fall, and we see it, you know, it's a privilege to have been a Christian and have seen God's restoration, but you still see a lot of how ugly actually the world can be if you read a newspaper or whatever, and so it's very much part of our reality that that we are subject to the fall. And even this week, Tani Delesti always talks about the tests that you have to succeed, and I had to come to terms with my own fallenness because, you know, there's a few tests that happened this week that I didn't make. So even as Christians, we have those moments, and we really need God to help us process through that, and, you know, and reconcile that back to him, you know. Okay, and then just a bit about so we talked about the truth of God, like in broad terms, and the truth of mankind in broad terms, who man is, and then the truth about sin. Where God brings life and justice and love, then sin and evil really brings a culture of depravity, you know, and it steals and it kills and destroys, it ensnares. Where God is consistent and coherent, sin makes things incoherent. For instance, later there'll be, I'm going to show you how sin, like, affects us, how it gets in, how it gets to us through pop culture and stuff like that. But there's in Googling, there was this singer, Katy Perry, and I'll show you just now. And it's just, she was crying out today to America about gun laws, you know, that they should have stricter gun laws because there was now another incident in the theaters. But if you look at what she's promoting through her music and through her music videos and what she is, you know, how many, she's very like, she promotes sexual immorality amongst youngsters. So I just wonder how much abortions, you know, have happened just because of her influence, but she comes up and she stands up to talk about. So it's incoherent morality. That's just, I don't mean to say anything about Katy Perry because it's not just her. It's just how the world is, really. But that was just an example that I saw. And the Bible, the Bible talks that when we dabble in those things, that it's like harlotry and that it's idolatry. And it's something that we need to come to terms with, that we do have deceitfulness in our hearts, and we have to be aware of that, just those truths, so that we know that we need to be aware, we need to be vigilant, we need to be connected to God, we need to be in his presence, we need him, you know, just to know that that's the case, because we need to plug into him so that his life can flow through us, and we have to come into his presence. So there's good news at the end of all of this. The previous scripture in John 3 verse 19 says, it speaks about those who do the truth come to the light. And so how do you do the truth? You know, there's been this infrastructure of the truth that I just explained, you know, and you actually... doing the truth is, I believe, just coming, engaging with it, sitting in with it and engaging with it, spending time with him in the word, yielding to it, you know. It's Jesus says he's the truth, and there's a truth and there's a lie. So coming to the truth and spending time with him, yielding to him, the word and the Holy Spirit, and to process through the context of your own life. You know, when you sit, I was sitting reading, and my chapter was in Jeremiah, and it was talking about God's frustration with the Israelites, because he said, "I planted you a noble vine," and then he was talking and he planted them with excellent seed, and then they went into harlotry, and that they became an alien plant. And also later in Jeremiah, I think late in Jeremiah 2 or the beginning of 3, it said that you have your backs turned to me, but when you're in trouble, you now ask me to save you out of it, you know. So it was just talking about how God experiences that. And so you look at it and you look at it, okay, that's the Israelites, but do I do that? You know, it's to sit with the word and to process it through your own life and your own context. And then as you sit and you pray and you go through the process of forgiveness and repentance, you pursue restoration. You know, the Bible says that God wants to restore us to the utmost. So if you've got wounds and stuff in your life, anything that's unresolved, any hurts, because often hurts also causes us to fall into sin, because people seek comfort. You feel hurt, and so you want to reach out to something to comfort you, and often a form of sin, be it, you know, like alcohol or, you know, sex or whatever, is a form of comfort for those people. But God, for us, but God wants us to come to Him for comfort and for rest. Or even if you're just tired, you know, that's also when you could be vulnerable. And so you must know that if you tired, you mustn't go to other things for comfort. You must come to God so that He can give you rest. So one has to, in that space, that's just things about how you could do the truth, you know, sit and literally process what's happening in the word, and how do you pull it through your own life. I think you guys have seen those. What I also want to say is just, I'm going to skip a few, but to receive your identity and reject the lie. Obviously, God says your experience in life would have told you certain things about who you are and how valuable or not valuable you are, and you have to receive your new identity in Christ and stand on it, you know, and reject the lie. If you feel worthless in that space with God, then you have to physically like reject it and say, no, I choose to believe God. And we're no longer slave to sin. Even though, you know, you have your times like me where you fail some tests, you know, you get up again, you're not a slave to it. It happened, you repent of it, you ask for forgiveness, and you forgive those you need to be forgiven, and you get up and you go on, you know, and you, and you're a child of God. You're not you've been adopted into His kingdom. And you have to implement, this to me is something that happened, to learn to implement the word at grassroots level. You know, I needed to, in places where I am the whole time, people I am with the whole time, because in the previous condition that I was in, I'd be this person here, very busy, disconnected, irritable, whatever, and when I'm here with like the people on the outside who I only see for an hour at a time, then I'm like, hi, how are you? And I'd be at my best, you know. So what happens when we spend time with God and when we're connected to Him, our identity is also he kind of puts us in that uncomfortable place where we need to learn to be coherent, you know, where his light shines through us, but it shines, I actually wish I put that slide further down. We'll come to it, but I'll show you how God's light shines, and then he shines through you and your marriage, your children, then your family, you know, and he makes you coherent. You know, you have to respect all the things. And then another way to do the truth is to actually share your testimony, and because your testimony will always help and encourage others. Okay, so we can skip the next slide. Okay, so I just quickly want to talk about something that I've been dealing with the youth, but I think it's like life skills that we can all benefit from. It's from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21. It says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of life, with all the fullness of God." So they, we're talking about the inner man, and God wants us to be strengthened in the inner man, and he wants us, and the way we are strengthened through it is by his, by knowing his love, by being rooted in his love. And we can only grow in his love and be rooted in his love if we spend time, like literally, he is love, in his presence, in his word, and in his presence, and pursue it. If we pursue it, you know, God teaches us his love. And in his love, God wants to give us the fullness of God, where sin and those kind of things steals from us. It's always draining us, taking us away. So, here's the inner man. There's a picture of the inner man. Sorry, it's a bit blurred. But basically, the inner man is our hearts and our heads. And I always think of that as our motivation center, you know. So the word says in Psalm 119, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." Another thing I did with my children the previous week, we were reading out of the same book. You can go to the next slide, Beth. Sorry, it talks about the senses. And basically what you'll see there is that the senses, your senses, your five senses, sends messages to your brain. Then if you go to the next slide, how does the world and our encounter with the world impact us? Here you have just basically the senses, and they are like gates. And you've got your eyes and your ears and your nose and your mouth and touch. I have this thing, there was this movie that we've just watched. It's called Home. It's a brand new animation, and it's in and it's about this little these aliens that, you know, invade Earth, and there's this little alien that's running away, and this girl helps him and he helps her. Anyways, and they're in the car, and she puts on Earth music, and he's like this little octopus, and he doesn't know what's happening to him. He just starts moving, and his colors start like going all different colors and whatever, and he's like, "Oh, what's happening to me?" You know, and the music is affecting him. He's responding to the music, and I can really say I also experience stuff like that. I don't know why I'm not that big a dancer. I dance I'll dance for the Lord in my house or stuff like that where no one sees me, but you won't see me dancing that much at weddings unless Tien forces me, and he's very He loves dancing and stuff like that. But when I get me in a queue at like Edgar's, where they're playing like these doof, 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 and it's got a funky tune, you know, and then I get the strongest urge to break out and dance in the middle of the shop. I literally have to hold myself in, you know? And then, like, you listen, and then you realize, okay, the music is really enticing. I mean, the rhythms and, you know, some of it is very quirky and funky, you know? But then sometimes you end up and you're like, oh, wait a minute, let's listen to the words. That's like sometimes the only time I'm exposed to like the lyrics of songs. And I want to show you now about, I just used her because I saw a music video of hers. I think I was in Steers, and they always have music videos showing in the background. And so there's lots of, I mean, Miley Cyrus, all the pop culture kids are doing similar things. And what I wanted to show you from here is that the imagery is very colorful, the tunes are very catchy, you know, there's food involved, it evokes your senses, your sense of taste. If you look at the expressions on her face, she's like pretending she's like this naive child, so it's just a game, and they like, yeah. It's just a game. It's like a child. It's parading the child's naivety as like innocence. It looks really fun, but you know, the whole music videos and stuff is supposed to look like super fun. But I mean, I battled to find these images. I had to pick the ones with the skirts kind of hit the edge of the bottom. But there's also some other, I mean, hectic costumes that are just completely overtly sexual. And I'm pressing the wrong thing. Yeah, and the whole thing is, it's trend setting, it's stylized, and it's giving the message is a free for all, you know, come and join us. So this is an example of popular culture that's really trying to engage all of your senses. You know, it's colorful and all that stuff. It's taste and the sound, yes, the hearing, it's very, it's like I have that same, I mean, with if I hear these songs of these very talented kids when it comes to music, you always want to dance. It's very catchy until you listen to the lyrics and stuff. So that's how it like draws you in. And that to me is like, so the next slide is just quickly from Proverbs 4 verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the issues of life. And then in God's word and being in his presence, being close to him, really arms you. And if you look at the armor, it's really covering your brain and it's covering your heart. And there's always this belt that's kind of, you know, a belt, I don't know, it's always uncomfortable. It's always reminding you that it's there, you know, the truth is there, you know, you better... You know, you know, and yeah, hey, sorry. Yeah, but and then shoes, also for where you're going, what you use your limbs for, and then your hands are not empty. You've got a shield, so with the word of God, you can protect yourself, but you know, you can use it as a shield, but you can also use it as a sword, you know. And like, for instance, if you've got sinful thoughts coming into your head, like, you know, sometimes at the arbus times, you have like a sinful thought or something coming into your mind, you take authority of it right then. You'd say, use your sword and you say, I take you captive to the lordship and obedience of Jesus Christ. And you just whack it out of there. And you stand on that until it leaves, you know. So, but an armor, you know, an armor, you have to just know who's your king, you know. If you're a soldier, whose army are you in? And you don't really need an armor if you're just in the world, but if you have the armor, then you're under the authority of a king. And if you're going to have a king who is worthy, you know, and it brings us back to the truth, who created you, God, you know, the great I am, you know, and he created everyone, and he's our savior, and he's the one whose image you made in, and the one who paid the price for your salvation. So if you're going to have a king, then who is worthy, you know? Ask yourselves those questions. This is the slide that I had a big trouble of where to put what. The next slide is just that light. It's supposed to be like a flashlight with the light, the beams going out. And really to filter, to let the light shine through you, from God, switch the light on, spend time with God, and then let the light shine through you and through all your relationships, through every aspect of your life. And like I said previously, you know, one can have an image that's not true of who you are the whole time, you know. And so I found when I started asking God to make me fruitful, that he took me to the fruits of the Spirit. You can go to the next slide. And, you know, love, patience, gentleness, joy, kindness, faithfulness, peace, goodness, and self-control. And I found the best place where I could learn that is, you know, at home with my husband and my kids. And even, you know, and then your family, your friends, you can kind of, they don't get in your space, but maybe even your family, maybe you've got hurts, or, you know, some people have ways of treating you, and you've got ways of reacting, old habits, you know. So we talked just now about guarding what comes in from the outside, but also God holds us accountable for what comes out from inside of us to the outside, you know. So that's why I said to check our outflow. And then the happy ending is these two scriptures, Acts 26:17-18. It says, I now send you to them to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that by faith in me they may receive forgiveness of sin and a share among those who are being sanctified. And then, so forgiveness of sins, come out of the darkness into the light, from the power of Satan into into God's kingdom, to sit there, you know. We sang a song earlier that said, it was a psalm of David about better is one day in your courts, you know, to sit in God's courts. To be a citizen of his kingdom. And then Acts, therefore, let it be known to you, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. That's the good news of the gospel. We are in this reality where we there is a God, and we encounter sin every day, and our own sin and other people's sin, but God comes to set us free. Jesus has the power to forgive sins. I'm confusing it also now, the lyrics with something else. So. But basically, it's proclaiming that I can't remember the beginning of the song, but it says. I want to forgive, I have that power. I want to wash you clean and make you whole. Enter in through the blood of the Lamb. Hope is rising, the sun is shining, brighter than the day. We have a friend, we have a father, we have our King. Shine forth, our God is alive, our God is life. Shine forth. Oh, it starts like this. We are all damaged goods, but Father God loves us. He sent his son to save us. He beckons us near, enter through the blood of the Lamb. I want to forgive, I have that power. I want to wash you clean and make you whole. Enter in through the blood of the Lamb. So I'll just close in prayer. And if anyone wants to come up, if you struggle to process sin, or if you struggle to come into the Word of God, you know, if you feel there's a block or a fear or something, or if you battle to receive Jesus' forgiveness, even though, you know, you believe in God, but then you're welcome to come forward for prayer, and maybe some of the cell leaders and elders and so on can help. So Father God, Lord, just thank you for your love for us. Thank you for, Lord, that you are more than enough for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that yes, Lord, we live in a fallen world, but thank you that you sent your son Jesus to save us and restore us and to sanctify us, Lord. And thank you that your blood and what happened at the cross, the resurrection, is powerful, Lord God, to break bondages over our lives, Lord God, and to set us free, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, that you want to bring us out of that yoke of bondage to sin, Lord God. Lord, and that you want to bring us into your glorious light, Lord God. And Lord, thank you for your affirming presence, Lord, that you are our Father, Lord, that we are your children, that you receive us as your children, and that you love us, Lord. Thank you that your love is perfect for us, Lord. And Lord, thank you that you desire to teach us to love like you love, and that our light can shine that way, Lord. And Lord, your Father, just be glorified, and in Jesus' name, amen.